Hi, everybody. Cheryl Akison here. Welcome to another edition of the Cheryl Akison Podcast. Today, the plight of America's whistleblowers, indispensable heroes, perennial punching bags. In this age of a highly controlled media landscape, it's never been more important to fight the heavy hand of censorship and support truly independent journalism. Go to CherylAkison.com and click on the store tab for a great way to do that. There are all kinds of fun and functional products designed specifically for independent and free thinkers like you, featuring slogans like, I tested positive for critical thinking, and I need to find some new conspiracy theories, all my old ones came true. Proceeds support independent journalism causes like the ION Awards for off-narrative accurate reporting. Go to CherylAkison.com and click the store tab today. The plight of the whistleblower. Some of America's most impactful stories have come to light only with the assistance of brave whistleblowers. The truth is, as we've reported on Full Measure, and as I've written at my website and reported at CBS before that, things rarely work out well for the whistleblower for all the good they may do. Their lives are typically all but ruined. In today's topsy-turvy environment, political operatives are put out there as supposed whistleblowers when they're not, while true whistleblowers are either ignored or controversialized and smeared in the press that used to once listen to their stories. We try to listen to them at Full Measure, just like I used to at CBS News, after checking out their stories. If there appears to be something important, impactful, and verifiable there, we like those stories. But inevitably, the ones who try to cover up whatever the whistleblowers seem to be wanting to expose, they usually end up promoted, while the whistleblower usually ends up losing his job and even his career. I urge you to go to fullmeasure.news and look at my recent story on the IRS whistleblowers. You can search IRS whistleblowers, the ones who really were going after the Hunter Biden case in a fair and unbiased fashion a couple of years ago, as Joe Biden was running for president, but the FBI and DOJ kept a lot of information and leads covered up, certainly didn't let the public know, but also kept some of these leads covered up from the IRS financial crimes agents, who say that evidence was leading them to need to look into Joe Biden's records, but they were forbidden from doing so. Election tampering apparently at its finest. And those whistleblowers are going through their own travails right now as they try to hang on to their jobs while saying they feel like their careers are all but over, even though they've done the right thing, even though that after they stepped forward, it sort of turned the course of the investigation and Hunter Biden did get charged with all of the things that they had recommended in the first place, except that which they were not allowed to explore. The statute of limitations was allowed to expire on some very important years, meaning the door is all but closed on some alleged crimes involving other people in the Hunter Biden orbit. But that's all part of the story that I covered. But anyway, they're clinging on to their jobs after having done the right thing at great personal expense. They're now put in a defensive posture, probably never going to be given a big case again, wondering if they're being undermined as we speak. In fact, one of these agents says they've been told that they're being conspired against by their leadership, who will find a way to fire them. So this is all what the whistleblowers have to go through after they tell an uncomfortable truth. Today, you're going to hear from a whistleblower who faced much the same treatment. Her name is Marcelle Reed. She's co-founder today of the Whistleblower Summit and Film Festival, but she got into all of this as a whistleblower herself when she was the head of a group called ACORN, in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. This was a group that did a lot of different activities, but including during the Obama era, sort of get out the vote. It turned out there was embezzlement going on, and those inside the organization who tried to call that out and speak to the wrongdoing, well, boy, were they dragged through the mud. Marcelle Reed, one of them. She stood up anyway and was responsible in part for the group having to admit that there had been theft or embezzlement at the highest levels. She'll refer to that in just a moment. But we have her here today to talk more on a broader level about the importance of whistleblowers, what they do, what they've done for us in the past. and why they remain a crucial part of our American system of justice. So here now is Marcel Reed.
So I was the chair of ACORN in Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia. It was one of the five fastest growing ACORNs in the country. I actually came to ACORN through a reference in a book I read. And I just turned and went to the office. So I was never recruited. I then went to the board. Then I became chair of the board here in D.C. and then part of the national board. I went on to report theft or embezzlement, however you wish to state it, within the organization. I was completely committed to ACORN's principle of taking the people on the absolute edges and trying to bring them in to the center.
And as a result of blowing the whistle, you saw what happens too often, I guess, to whistleblowers, the treatment that you got. You were sort of dragged through the mud and smeared. Must have been tough.
It was tough. And I'd just like to say that my blowing the whistle had nothing to do with my employment, that there is no compensation for people like me who blow the whistle, because I believe in many people's minds, whistleblowing is now tied up with compensation. There was no compensation for me, and 95% of the whistleblowers who do it. Our lives are simply ruined. Luckily, I was resilient enough to overcome it, but I know so many who aren't, and I want to fight the perception that you blow the whistle, you get a book deal, you do a movie, and you become famous, because that isn't what happens.
So you've devoted a lot of time and effort to helping other whistleblowers.
Yes.
And you have something called the Pillar Awards that are
yes.
given each year. Mm-hmm. Can you name, just succinctly, a couple of the types of people that have gotten the Pillar Awards and what they've done?
Yes. The Pillar Awards were put in place to support and acknowledge people who had either blown the whistle or had advocated at some risk for whistleblowing to occur. So we've given the pillar as wide politically as from Elizabeth Warren to Chuck Grassley. And we have given lifetime pillar awards to for achievement to Daniel Ellsberg and to
the
Serpico.
Pentagon Papers. Daniel Ellsberg, right?
Yes.
And Frank Serpico.
Did he blow
the whistle on primarily?
He blew it on police corruption in New York City.
Whistleblowing at its heart, mm-hmm. when it's most important, tends to be nonpartisan. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't impact a political side, but it means that the motivation of the whistleblower is typically not partisan.
Yes.
But I've seen that change. I feel like whistleblowers or people who are called whistleblowers who get more media attention these days are ones of a more partisan nature. What is your comment on that?
It is. Whistleblowing is about truth-telling. Whistleblowers will never be in fashion because, quite honestly, truth is seldom in fashion. There's a narrative, and people want you to support whatever the narrative is. And very often, truth throws them off of the narrative. So if your narrative that absolutely everyone is a particular way, and you tell the truth, and they find out that, no, people have varying opinions about varying things on varying days, that doesn't lock in the narrative. So the first thing I learned as a whistleblower is, it doesn't matter that you're telling the truth about a particular side. What matters is that whatever the narrative is, you've thrown it off.
What has happened to you as you've tried to organize and help whistleblowers? Are there other forces that really would like to pull you into a more partisan role?
Of course. And there are other people who misunderstand whistleblowing. And I'm always in trouble for this, but I always say the same thing. Whistleblowing isn't about you quitting your job, disliking your boss, and then going out and telling everything you ever knew about your boss. Whistleblowing is while you're working for your boss and you see your boss do something wrong, and you go through the chain of command, whatever it is, and there's no satisfaction because what they're doing is wrong. And you can't explain that to people. They don't understand it. They look at you and they say, but my car payment's due. My house notice due. You know, I have my children routed to go to a certain school. Well, everyone else did too. You know, I tell people, I went from a large house in Mount Vernon, Virginia, a huge house, to living a much different life now. And I could have said nothing and continued to live that life. And it was a great climb for me because I'm from Compton. So to go from Compton to live on the Potomac in a house in Mount Vernon is a huge climb. I didn't go out to be a martyr. I just wanted to tell the truth.
What types of people have approached you, and how do you get the sense that they would like to take you and kind of use you for a political purpose?
Almost. Well, first, they don't know what it is I did, or why don't those people like you. But then number two is, I have to say, the reason that, and this makes me nonpartisan, but I often thought the reason people didn't like a particular person was not because they didn't like the person, but they didn't like the fact that they couldn't imagine themselves doing what the other person had done. I think it intimidates people, you know. It's not that they hate you. It's that they hate what they see in you as something that they couldn't do.
Interesting point. What would you say is the state of whistleblowing in America today?
I see it being, I personally see it being used as something that patronizes. People are calling themselves whistleblowers that are not. There's a simple rule for whistleblowing. You blew the whistle when something was at stake. That is when you blow the whistle. Not after your 401 is secure, your job is secure, and your kid has been accepted to whatever school you've slotted for them. Because it doesn't make what you're saying less true, but it does not make you a whistleblower.
And what is the sort of a takeaway message or the thing that you would want people to know about the whole idea of whistleblowing? I mean, the thing most people see, if they see anything, is I think they may see a big splash in the media about somebody. And if they know at all what happens to that person, they probably know that person gets smeared and loses their job and pretty much no good comes of it for them. So how do you tell people that's the thing they ought to do? And what do you think is the takeaway?
First, I'm here because I'd like people to understand that that is precisely what happens to most whistleblowers. And I think that's been displaced by this narrative that you blow the whistle and you become rich. It isn't true. And then I think I'd like people to know that it's not for everyone. You know, some of us don't get through it as well as others do. But if you can't tell the truth in a democracy, you will not have democracy. So people think that the defenders of democracy wear uniforms. That's absolutely true. But the ultimate defenders of democracy are those who are willing to tell the truth and withstand the cost. And there is no such thing as telling the truth and paying no cost.
We'll be hearing from Marcel Reed on this upcoming episode of Full Measure on March 10th. I urge you to tune in for some other fascinating topics, including dietitians' conflicts of interest. What do I mean by that? Well, like a lot of nonprofits and professional groups, pretty much any of them that can fall under the influence of those that surround them in their orbit have been influenced by them. And in this case, we're going to look at a major dietitians group that gives advice on what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat and what dietitians should know is good for us and not good for us. Well, guess who's in the background providing big funding? It includes the processed food industry, the sugar and candy industry, the cereal industry, Coca-Cola, Cokes and sodas, all those sorts of things. So when you're trying to get advice from a dietitian or a professional, or when you're searching online to see what's good and what's not good in terms of health and diet, it's entirely possible this advice is seriously conflicted by the industries who want you to keep consuming their products even when they may not be good for you. That's also Sunday on Full Measure. And lastly, what's wrong with offshore wind? It was such a big promise and hope with a lot of expansion and new projects being planned off the coast here in the United States, some of those now going belly up. It just seems like for all the hope of green or so-called clean energy, something seems to always go wrong when reality enters the picture. So that's another story that we'll have on Sunday, March 10th. You can go to CherylAxon.com for a list of stations and times, by the way. Just click the Full Measure tab. Or you can watch Full Measure anytime at fullmeasure.news. Either watch the program live around 9:30, 1 a.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, or replays most anytime from around noon on Sundays. That's at fullmeasure.news if that's easier than getting to the TV.
Introducing Whipped Seafoam Body Butter by Sirenae Cosmetics.
Hi, I'm Star, owner of the Lemonade Mermaid.
Enriched with the nourishing powers of cocoa butter, mango butter, and shea butter, our body butter whisks you away to a world of deep hydration. Experience the essence of the sea with every application as this whipped delight leaves your skin refreshed, replenished, and ready to conquer the day. Visit thelemonademermaid.com and make your skin sing with the magic of the sea.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, that if you did, you'll leave a review, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends. And check out my other podcast, Full Measure After Hours. And now you can support independent journalism causes by visiting CherylAxon.com and clicking the store tab for some thought-provoking and fun products. These are designed exclusively for independent and free thinkers like you, with proceeds benefiting independent reporting causes. You can also pre-order my new book, Follow the Science: How Big Pharma Misleads, Obscures, and Prevails. Order from the bookstore of your choice, or at HarperCollins or Amazon. Fight the censorship. It's never been more important.